Matthew chapter 22, a Pharisee comes to Jesus and questions him in this way. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 25. Down in verse 35. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." I think it's interesting in Jesus' answer that there are three areas of focus that Jesus offers in response in his answer. And really his answer is two-part. And those two parts are important as we consider not only Jesus' answer, but our lives as Christians. Jesus says, if you want to follow the commandments, if you want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, you have to start with loving God. Verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Verse 39, he says, and there's another commandment that's like it. You have to love other people. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. But I think that last phrase is interesting as well. Not only do we love God, not only do we love our neighbors, but we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. There are three areas of focus that Jesus gives us in this passage. We need to love God, we need to love our neighbor, and to some degree or another, we need to love ourselves. Throughout this year, I plan to preach some lessons on refocusing, trying to refocus ourselves as a church. And I want to focus on these three areas as a means to do that, that as Christians and as a church here in Conroe, we need to be focused in three areas. We need to be focused inwardly, outwardly, and upwardly. That is to say, we need to focus on ourselves. We need to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to be doing and we're taking care of things at home. We need to be focused outwardly. That is, we need to be focused on others. Love your neighbors as you love yourselves. To the same degree that we love ourselves, we need to be focusing on those outside of the church to bring them into a relationship with God. And then, of course, Jesus' first commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And so we need to love God. We need to be focused upwardly as well. And prayerfully, these lessons will direct us this year as a church to be better aligned in our focus, to align our focus more closely with what the Bible would want us to be, that we would balance our focus, not overweighting certain areas and neglecting others, but that we would be focused as God wants us to be focused as a church. So this morning what I want to do is I want to begin focusing on this idea of an inward focus. And we're going to be talking about this for a few months here, not every week, but we'll periodically revisit this kind of a topic. I want to consider this inward focus. Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, that you are to love your neighbors as yourselves, presupposes something. It presupposes that we have a concern for our own well-being, that I as an individual love myself to some degree. And of course, there is a negative kind of connotation to that, self-love, a kind of connotation of selfishness if we lead it to its inappropriate kind of conclusion. But at the same time, there is a level in which the Bible expects us as individuals to care for ourselves, to love ourselves. And I think it's interesting that Jesus realizes that and that he uses that as the basis upon which we know how we ought to love other people. How do you know how you should love other people? Well, how do you love yourself? How do you take care of yourself? How do you handle your own life? Maybe that's a starting reference point towards how we deal with other people. But the presupposition remains that we have a concern for ourselves, and we should have a concern for ourselves. The Bible is full of instructions to care for yourself. It tells us that we need to be caring for ourselves. I'm talking about spiritually here, physically as well, but especially in a spiritual sense. Spiritual self-care is necessary. For example, over in Mark chapter 8, in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, notice what Jesus says on this occasion. Mark chapter 8, down in verse 36, he says, verse 35, I'll begin. He says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?
Well, what good does it do you if you gain all of the great things in life, but you yourself, your soul, your inner being doesn't live on? Jesus says you need to be careful about that. You need to make sure that you're taking the proper measures to take care of yourself spiritually, to make sure that you're being the kind of person that you need to be. I think it's interesting as well over in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, when Peter offers that sermon there in Acts chapter 2, and the 3,000 souls respond. Peter's response, at least as it's translated in some of the translations, is, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation, or this crooked generation. Save yourselves. Make sure that you are where you need to be." Of course, those are individual instructions. That's to you as a Christian. That's to me as a Christian. But I would suggest to you that the same is true for us as a church. As a congregation of God's people, as a collection of God's people, we have to have, at least on some level and to some degree, an inward focus. And so let's talk just a little bit about this need for an inward focus. Why do we need this? I think it's probably the case, at least in certain discussions I've had with people, not just here but elsewhere, that there's a certain level of expectation that the church shouldn't be focused inwardly, that an inward-focused church is a bad thing. And yet, I think we have to realize that the Bible tells us that the church is expected to care for itself. There's an expectation in Scripture that the church is going to care for its own, that the church is going to be there for those who are in its number, and it's going to build one another up. In fact, I think we see that no clearer place than in the myriad of one another passages in the New Testament. All the one another passages, we don't have time to go through all of them, but I encourage you sometimes as you're reading through the New Testament, just start noticing how often instructions are given to the church to do something for one another, with one another, to one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, encourage one another and build up one another. That's an inward focus. That is to say, the church is to help itself, to encourage itself, to build up itself. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, through love, serve one another. That's something we do to ourselves. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, says, be hospitable to one another. You can't read the New Testament. By the way, that's just a small sampling for you there. You can't read the New Testament and come away thinking that the church has no obligation to itself. The church has no obligation to care for itself. The one another commandments in Scriptures are numerous and direct us as a church to focus inwardly, to focus on ourselves. Other instructions are present as well in Scripture that lead us to this conclusion that we need to be in a relationship with one another, that we are helping one another, that we are caring for ourselves as a church. You think about over in Acts chapter 4, when the church was really brand new at the time, and there were Christians from all over the world there in Jerusalem, and there were needs that started to sprout up. But in Acts chapter 4, look at what the church did, this example of what the church did. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute to each as any had need. And then it goes on to tell about Joseph, who was later called Barnabas, who gave in this way. The early church was inwardly focused in terms of benevolence, doing good to those who were a part of the church. That was a staple of the local church, of the church there at the time. That we're going to care for one another. We're going to focus on one another's needs. The church is to be a self-correcting body when we look at the New Testament. Over in James chapter 5, in James chapter 5, James describes that the church is to be self-correcting. James 5, down in verse 19 and 20. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James says, listen, there needs to be this thing that's happening among you where when one of you goes astray, somebody else turns it back. There needs to be an inward focus. You need to be caring for one another and making sure that you are correcting one another. Members guiding members, Christians guiding Christians. Even the uncomfortable instructions in the Bible about church discipline, about how you handle those kinds of situations, indicates that there is an internal focus that is required. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous or swindlers or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. Paul says, I'm not talking about your outward focus right now. I'm not talking about how you interact with people in the world. What am I talking about? I actually wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves, Paul says. We need to be the kind of people who are focused inwardly. We need to be the kind of church that is focused inwardly, making sure that we're taking care of the things here in our midst. Have you ever noticed that the entirety of the New Testament is written to churches? It's all written to churches. It's all written to people who are Christians. In fact, the vast majority of the letters that Paul writes and the other epistles are written to, they're addressed to churches. And they tell us how we are to live in this church relationship. And sure, they offer other instructions as well about how we interact with those outside the world. But primarily, the instruction is for us in the church. The Bible is a collection of books with a largely internal focus. And so for us to say, well, we don't really need to be so concerned about what's going on inside the church, yes, we do. The Bible expects it of us. And let me take this perhaps a step further and point out to you that the church itself is designed to take care of itself. When God established the church, and he set it up as he would, he designed it in such a way that it would be a self-caring institution, a self-caring organization or structure, whatever you want to call that. Ephesians chapter 4 perhaps lays this out most clearly. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul describes the great gifts that Christ gives the church and what they accomplish for the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, down in verse 11, he says that Christ gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The church was set up, it was established to be focused on its own growth, on its own well-being. The leadership that Paul describes here, these gifts that Christ gave the church, the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, all of this is to focus on what? On the equipping of the saints, verse 12. All of these roles lead to the equipment of the saints. And these newly equipped saints, what do they do? Well, if we follow Paul's pattern here, if we follow the pattern of the New Testament, the newly equipped saints are then expected to cause the growth of the body, the building up of itself in love. And we could go more specifically and talk about how each of these roles is designed to cause this kind of growth. The elders, for instance, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul, as he discusses with the Ephesian elders on that occasion, he says that they are to oversee and shepherd the flock of God. Why do we have shepherds? Why did God set them up in the church? Well, for our own well-being. They have an inward focus that they ought to be demonstrating, that they are overseeing the church, making sure that things are going as they ought to go, that things are spiritually running as they should. They're to shepherd the church, feed the church spiritually, lead them to the green grass of God's word, right? And to help us grow. You think about the evangelist. I think it's fascinating when you read 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, how often Paul tells Timothy and Titus to remind the brethren of certain things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, for example, Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, remind them. Why? The evangelist's job is not strictly to go out and get converts. In part, as Paul describes in Ephesians 4, it's to bring about the growth of the people in the church so that they can go out and get converts. The evangelist must remind Christians of things, because so often Christians forget things, but even more so because Christians need to grow in those things. Even deacons, when you look at the way that the prototypical deacon in Acts chapter 6 is described and the things that he's doing, that these seven men who were selected for ministry on that occasion, what are they doing? They're caring for the needs, not of the world, of those in the church, of insiders, we might say. The church is designed to care for itself. The whole structure, the whole organization, all the people that make it up, it's all meant to bring about the growth of itself, building up itself in love. In addition to the structure of people and the roles in the church, you can also look at the worship of the church. The things that God tells us to do that please Him are also for our own benefit. I just cite for you specifically Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, which speaks about our singing. The way that we're to sing to one another, teaching and admonishing one another. The whole design of the church is for us in one sense. It's for our well-being and our growth. All of this to say, anyone who suggests that the church should not be focused inwardly, anyone who suggests that we just, you know, we're just going to stifle our growth if we only focus on ourselves, is defying the pattern of Scripture. Now understand this, as we move through this series of lessons and as we see that we need to focus on all of these different areas, we need to put things in perspective and we need to make sure that we're not overemphasizing things, but we also have to make sure we're not underemphasizing things. And if we fail to focus inwardly, not only are we failing in the expectations that God gives us, but we're also failing to fulfill the design of the church that He's provided. We are expected as a church here to focus on one another, to focus on ourselves inwardly, to build one another. We're designed to do that. And let me suggest that if we don't do that, there'd be some serious consequences. That is to say, if we just throw it out, if we say, you know, we're going to throw all our resources, all of our energy, everything towards the outside or wherever we want to put it. But we don't need to worry about one another. We don't need to consider one another's needs. If we don't care for ourselves, there are grave consequences to this. Let me suggest, first of all, that if we don't care for ourselves, that we will cease to be a God-glorifying church. We cannot glorify God like He wants us to unless we're helping build one another up, unless we're helping one another grow. Just imagine that with me for a minute. To have a church that never focuses inwardly, that is constantly focused on the outside. It's never building itself up. It's never encouraging itself to grow. It's never focusing any time or attention on those needs. That church may convert hundreds of people because they're out there teaching hundreds of people. It may convert thousands of people. It may be the largest church in town. But the fact is, if there is no aim towards inward growth, all you're doing is bringing people into a building where they're just going to grow old and die. We have to focus on inward growth. We have to focus on one another. We have to focus on the church. Without this aim towards inward growth, the church will inevitably fall away from God. It won't be the kind of structure, designed expectation, whatever. It won't be any of that God wants it to be. Failing to focus inwardly will cause us to be like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Remember the church at Ephesus? Of course, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and told them about how they were to build one another up in love. And at some point, it seems that they fell off that bandwagon because in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, the Spirit tells them that they left their first love. The people inside weren't growing like they should. The people inside were neglected at some point. Or maybe the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. Over in Revelation chapter 3, church at Sardis. This may be one of the gravest warnings in the early chapters of Revelation for us as a people. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, this is what Jesus says to the church at Sardis. He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. If we don't focus inwardly, that could be us. People around us may look at us and say, wow, they've got it figured out. They know what they're doing. They look okay. We may be converting people by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands, whatever. But if we're not focused inwardly to growth, we may have a name that we're alive. We may have a good reputation, but on the inside we may be dead. The Spirit continues with his warning in verse 2, and this is what he says. Wake up, strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. That's what we have to do. But we have to wake up and realize that if we don't focus ourselves inwardly, if we don't focus on building one another up and encouraging one another and growing spiritually with one another, if we don't strengthen the things that remain in this congregation, we will be dead spiritually on the inside. We will cease to be a God-glorifying church if we don't focus inwardly. But also, let me also mention that if we don't focus on ourselves inwardly, we will be incapable of serving other people like we should. Consider the message over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to point out something that Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul, of course, here is talking to Timothy. He's talking to an individual Christian. One should understand that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he's talking to this individual and he says this, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, although Paul is writing to an individual Christian here, although he's writing to Timothy, he's not writing to a whole church, I think the principle can be made applicable to a church situation. To impact other people, you first have to take care of yourself. You first have to make sure you're on the right path before you go trying to fix someone else's path. Isn't that the same thing Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount? Make sure you get the beam sticking out of your eye before you go trying to get the speck out of your brother's eye. You have to take care of yourself before you can ever have any kind of impact in serving other people with the gospel. How on earth can we be effective as a church in bringing people to God if we're not helping one another grow toward God? If our concern is not about actually attaining a relationship with God, not actually attaining the perfection that God calls us to, but just growing the church, then our perspective is way off. And until we change that, until we make ourselves an inwardly focused group to some degree, making sure that we are growing inwardly, then we'll never be able to serve other people. And isn't that what this whole series is about? Inward, outward, upward? You got to take care of yourself so that you can have that right outward focus, so that you can glorify God as you should. Each of these three elements, these ideas of inward focus, outward focus, upward focus, each of these feed off of one another, and they require one another. It's like three legs to a stool, right? You take one of the legs out, you're going to fall over. To glorify God is to focus inwardly and outwardly. You can't glorify God if you're not doing the things that he says inwardly and towards other people. To serve those on the outside, to go out and find people and preach the gospel to them and bring them into relationship with God, you have to take care of yourself, and you have to be focused on God. And of course, to grow inwardly leads to one glorifying God and serving others who are outside. We'll discuss some perhaps more specific applications of this in coming months. What exactly does this inward focus look like? What do we have to do practically to make sure that we're focusing properly inwardly? What actions can we take? We'll talk about some of those things. But it begins with this reality, and it's a reality we have to come to terms with, and we have to understand. We must focus inwardly. We have to be concerned with building up one another. It's something that God simply expects of his people. So my question for us as we leave is this, especially for our members here. We have a good number of visitors, and it's so good to see you here, but I'm going to talk to our members for a minute. Are we focused inwardly like we should be? Are we concerned with building up this church from the inside out as we should be? Are you individually contributing to the growth of this church as you should? That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. that every joint has to supply, that each individual part must do its job. Are you doing your part for the building up of this church in love? Are you focusing on your all of your attention on building up the people of God in this church? And if you need to make changes in your life in regards to that, do it today. Make those changes now. If there's something that you need to do privately, if you just need to resolve in your heart and in your mind that I'm going to do better, do it today. If you need to make public changes of some kind, if you realize that you're, some sin in your life has been dragging you and the church down with it, then make the change. We'll pray with you. We'll help you overcome that. Whatever we can do to encourage you and be an encouragement to you, we want to build one another up. Of course, if there are any here who have not put on the name of Christ in baptism, if there are any here who need to enter that relationship initially, we want to help you as well. Whatever we can do to help you with your spiritual walk with God, we want to do what we can to build one another up. Why don't you come and make your needs known as we stand and as we sing a song of encouragement.